So it is, before I go into the message, it's kind of a wonky time to go into sabbatical, because it's really an exciting time in the life of our church. And so it's like, everything's going so well, bye, and see ya. But I have a lot of anticipation for the fall when my family and I return. But in all honesty, I have a lot of anticipation for this time of rest too. And I'm really thankful and grateful for your care for me and for my family to be able to take this time. I do have a couple of things planned. The first week that we're away is my graduation out in Oregon, and so we're flying, and I think I've twisted my oldest son's arm, I shouldn't say this out loud because it'll kill me, to skip his final lacrosse game to join us. I'm hopeful. Anyway, but it's partly because the team that they're playing is not very good, and they're probably going to make playoffs, so it might not be a loss anyway. Anyway. So we're going to be in Oregon for that, which will be a really sweet family time together. A friend of mine has allowed me to use one of their places to do some personal retreat and things. I'll be meeting pretty regularly with a spiritual director. So this is, and I'll be throwing a ton of pottery, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. So I look at sabbatical definitely as rest, but also as work, but not work. I've always, and we're going to talk about Sabbath ironically today anyway, but when I viewed Sabbath, as I've thought about Sabbath personally, I've always thought that Sabbath is a day when God tends to us, when God tends to our needs. The week kind of accumulates its paper cuts, so to speak. And so Sabbath for me has always been a time to pay attention to those things and to make space for God to tend to me. And so the work that I feel like I have to do over the Sabbath is to allow God to tend to me and to my family, so that when we do return, we can go hopefully strong for another 5 years and maybe then some. So you guys are all a gift. Love you. Let's pray. I just want to pray for us. Jane read this scripture this morning that Jesus opened their eyes to the scriptures, and so I just want to pray that for us today. Jesus, that you would open our eyes to the scripture that you have for us today. That we wouldn't read it alone, that we wouldn't read it just objectively, that we wouldn't read it just for information, God, but that we would read it and hear it for transformation's sake, for the formation of Christ in us. And I just give to you my brothers and sisters, myself, pray that you would do that in us today in Christ's name. Amen. So Psalm 4 will be on the screen behind me. You can follow along. This is what David writes. He says, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord answers when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Verse 8 is special to my family and I, well, at least to Ruby and I, because when my kids were small, in which they are no longer small, we used to tuck them in at night and we would say this last verse, "Lie down, may you lie down and sleep in peace, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." We don't do that anymore. We don't tuck our children in anymore. That would be awkward. at least in their stage and age of life. But I'd like us to think about this psalm through the lens of the final verse, verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So let's do a little get-to-know-you bit here. By the raise of hands, how many of you are night owls? Okay, more than the first time around. How many of you are early birds? Okay. How many of you are like me, and you like to go to bed early and sleep in late? Why not have the best of both worlds? So David, the writer of the psalm, isn't just describing the quality of his sleep life, which this is just great information to have in the back of your pocket, and a quick Google search would tell you that you sleep for about 26 years of your life, which translates into 9,490 days or 227,760 hours of your life, not counting the 7 years that it takes to fall asleep. So he's not talking about the quality of sleep life, but he is talking about the characteristic of his heart and the fullness of life that he experiences as he lies down and rests because his life is resting in God. I'd like to help us reframe resting in God and maybe what that looks like or that means with our lives, practically speaking. Genesis 1:19 gives us an alternative way to understand the rhythm of life. So most of the time we think about the rhythm of life as the beginning of the day being the morning. So the sun breaks, we wake up, the alarm goes off, and then we scurry about our day. But Genesis 1:19, after it describes God creating the great lights, the sun and the moon, it says this, "And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day." So notice that there was evening first, and then there was morning. So here's my question. Have you ever thought about the evening when you lay your head on the pillow as actually the beginning of the day? Probably not. And if you're in home church this week, it's one of the questions that I have for you for discussion, but we could probably spend a lot of time discussing on what the significance of that is, but I think it's a resurrection kind of thought. It's an Easter kind of thought, because traditionally we think of the break of the day as the beginning of the day. It's when your work begins. It's when your to-do list is set in front of you, and you know what you have to do. You know what's next. Your agenda is there. Your energy or your ability or lack thereof is kind of, you're feeling that in the beginning of the day. And you're thinking, okay, this is what I have to enter the day with. And it's a perfectly natural way to think because unless you're Jewish, that's how the rest of the world works and operates. The beginning of the day is the beginning, literally, of the day. And it's similar, and ironically, Jonathan and I didn't time this morning, but we talk about Sabbath. It's the way that we understand Sabbath, too. We think about Sabbath as the seventh day of the week, and so we spend 6 days of our lives emptying ourselves of all sorts of energy in order to crash and hopefully rejuvenate and get back into it on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day. And this hasn't been ingrained in us because this is just the way the world has worked, the way that the world has functioned. We empty ourselves, we take a break, fill ourselves up again, and then we empty ourselves again. But what I'd like to help us think about this morning is how to think about our lives, the rhythm of our lives, and what a resting in God is like as people of the resurrection. Oftentimes we think, when we think of life in this way, when we think of the morning beginning our day, we're almost ahead of God and we ask God to kind of come behind us, clean up our mess, or help us to do what we need to do throughout the day. Because this rhythm of life, when things begin in the morning, says that we're at the center, that we're in control, and that we kind of make the decisions on what is going to happen. But a resurrection kind of people, an Easter kind of people, people of God, historically, always are not ones who lead God, but who respond to God's leading. And so it's an adverse way of thinking. It's a whole new way of thinking. Because we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're following in the footsteps of what God has done. And we see this in the creation story. So in 6 days, God created. And what did God create on the sixth day? Look around, right? Day six, God created humanity. So what follows the creation of human beings? Work? Ironically, no. The very first day that humanity is fully alive is not day one, but day seven, which is the Sabbath. So you and I, according to the biblical narrative, enter into existence, into our purpose for what? So we can just go in and create and do and produce? No. The first day of your existence, of my existence, the core of our identity really is to live into the rest and the completeness of what God has already done. We live into the day, we live into the rest and the completeness of what God has already done. So what if we think about our days that way, as Genesis 1:19 says, and then there was evening, and then there was morning, the fourth day. What if the evening time, like the Jewish Sabbath, you ever wonder why, like our idea of Sabbath, is Sunday, so probably when you wake up, and you have Sunday from when you wake up till when you go to bed. That's probably your view of Sabbath. But the Jewish people have a very different understanding of Sabbath. It's from Friday evening at the setting of the sun until Saturday evening. And so the beginning is in the evening. When we think about this, it changes. When we think about it that way, there's a few things that take place. First, we see that when we go to bed at night, if we think about the beginning of the day in the evening, it's an act of surrender to God. Going to bed isn't just an act of mere exhaustion. It's actually an act of surrender to God, because when we sleep, we surrender our bodies to God. We surrender the kids that we might have tucked in another room. We surrender them to God. We surrender the work that was done and was left undone to God. When we sleep, our identity does not lie in what we produce throughout the day. So the beginning of the day, when we see it as evening, entering it into sleep, doesn't begin with our production, but our identity is one that rests in God. Like the core part of who we are is a person who rests in the completeness and the care of God. When we sleep, and we see that in the the beginning of the day, we don't come from a place of emptiness, we come from a place of fullness. So God has already been working for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours, depending on how long you sleep. God has been at work all that time, sustaining all things, and then you enter into it from a place of being sustained. Another way to think of it is it's an act of trust. We trust that God will sustain us. We trust that God will hold the world and everything in it together. This is the beauty of Sabbath. So in my Sabbath practice, there's some things that I don't do. I don't try to be productive. That doesn't mean I don't do things, because often on Sabbath, I'll vacuum because it brings me joy. Great, great joy. And so Sabbath is a day for vacuuming for me. But then on Sabbath, I don't check the news, because for that day, I can just say, you know what, God, you've got the world, and I don't have to worry about it. Sleep, just think about sleep and resting and entering into rest as being, maybe we can think of it as a confession of our finiteness as human beings. All y'all are never going to think about sleeping the same way again, are you? You're just, the typical way you think of sleep is, oh, I can't wait to get to sleep. or hitting the head on the pillow or whatever out of pure exhaustion, but this is beautiful. Friends, sleep is a spiritual discipline. Yeah. It's my favorite one. But it's interesting, though. So if we think about the creation narrative, the very first day that we're supposed to live into the creation story is the Sabbath. The way the creation story also reads is, when does the fall happen? You never get to a day eight. You get to 6 days, humanity's created, you get to the seventh day, and then it just kind of lingers there. And then you get to Genesis chapter 3. And the way that the narrative is structured, it leaves you hanging, and it helps you recognize that, oh wait, the day that we rebelled, the day that the fall happens, the day that sin enters the world, whatever you want to call it, is the day that we were meant to find completeness and rest in God, but we would have none of it. Instead, we tried to make meaning and purpose for ourselves. And so I don't think that narrative is just a Genesis 1, 2, and 3 narrative. I think that narrative is a what is today, April 18th, 2021 narrative. I think that's the same narrative that you and I are living. It's a narrative that's illustrative of the same struggles that you and I face. So the psalmist writes, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." There's an invitation to rest. Very briefly, I just want to end today by focusing on Jesus, because Jesus is the ultimate one that we look to and learn from in order to learn to live in rest. And so one of the commentators this past week, as I was reading this, said something interesting, and I hadn't thought of it before, although it's kind of obvious, that Jesus would have read all of these psalms too. So they would have been his prayer book, they would have been the songs that Jesus had sung throughout his life, he would have had them memorized. So Jesus would have read this psalm too. And then I got to thinking how different I pray this psalm, or I pray any psalm, and then how different it is when Jesus, whose entire life continues to rest in God, prays the psalm. And for me, they became two poles, so to speak. And so one of the things that I think is very important in faith is to, when you talk about two things that seem to be opposite from one another, not to talk about them as if they're competing for one another, not as if one is right and one is wrong, but to look at them as two different experiences, to honor each one, and to say that, you know, our journey with God and in faith is probably somewhere along a spectrum. And so when I pray this psalm, or when I think of David praying this psalm, it almost is like I hear David praying as somebody who's longing for something outside of himself. It's like most of the time when I pray the psalms or when we read the psalms, there's this journey that there's this journey that honors and names these human emotions and human experiences and things, and then finally lands at some resolution. Most of the psalms do that. And so a lot of times, I recognize myself praying in a Davidic sort of way. I want to reach a certain place. But then there's the way that Jesus prays these psalms, not necessarily from a place of longing, but from a place of resting, almost declaring the truth of the psalm from a rooted place of a life with God. And so what I'd like to do here at the end is to read this psalm again. And I'd like us to hear it maybe in two different ways. One is as a way that kind of lies beyond ourselves or lies outside of ourselves. But then what would it be like for us to read this also through the lens of Jesus, whose life is finding complete rest in God? So listen to this again, and maybe listen to it this time from the perspective of Jesus. So when he prays, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Maybe those aren't aspirational prayers. Like, oh God, I hope you answer me. But there's almost like this rootedness, this resting, I am confident, God, that you will. And then maybe as Jesus looks and considers the world around him, he's praying from this place of resting, God, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? And this proclamation, maybe, know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Again, from this place of confidence, tremble and do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine upon us. Again, not as though it's an option, but it's a reality. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The David way of praying this is almost aspirational. It's hopeful. The Jesus way of praying this is residing and resting in God. I think for all of us, we pray aspirationally. We pray our hopes. We pray who we want to be, what we want to be. We pray for the world. But I wonder for many of us, how many of us have tasted of just this rest in God? Because it's there and it's available. And it's not supposed to just be happenstance. But you and I were created to live in the rest of God, in the completeness and in the fullness of God. And so my hope and my prayer for all of us is that we can live from this place of rest, this place of completeness. And very practically, and I mean this with all seriousness, when you go to bed every night this week, and maybe the week after, think of that time as a place of surrendering yourself and your family and your life, the world, to God. Let that become a beginning. Nobody here is not going to sleep this week, I hope. God help you if you do. All of us have this experience. And so may we be drawn to what this experience invites us into in terms of a deeper life with God. Pastor Brian, the team is going to come. I just want to pray for us as they do. Lord, the way that we have been wired to think in our minds and in the rhythms of our lives is to rush into the day and to try to make the most of it. And in the midst of it, to try to remember you. But the way that you created us in all things is very different. You created all of this and you said it was good. You planted us in the midst of it. And the way that you intend for us to experience it is in a Sabbath way. A way that finds rest and completeness in the work that you have done. God, it is probably good for us to repent and to recognize the ways in which that rest and completeness is an afterthought or a pipe dream, when it is, through Christ, a reality that we're invited to live. And so, God, I pray for us that you would help us, inform us, and shape us to be a people who live from a place of rest and fullness. Lord, and as then we enter the days with each interaction, with our families, with our workplaces. Lord, we might also be the agents of creation and recreation when we bless the world and call it good. Lord, may we be those people of blessing, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.